But look here. I want us to look at the process of seduction. When you go to Genesis chapter 3, I want us to look at the four stages of seduction. Everyone say four stages of seduction. When seduction is occurring, it goes through a process. And when we know this process, it will help us recognize the deceit of Satan. Genesis chapter 3. Shall we read? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman. Now, notice here. Who used the serpent? The devil, right? Now, why didn't the devil use a cow? Why didn't the devil use a snake? Why didn't the devil use an elephant? He can't use those things. How will they speak to a human being? They are way below the standard of a human being. But Satan had to pick something which had intelligence. Something that had an ability to reason. Something which can cast a spell of imagination in the mind of a woman. Something with hands. Something with legs. Something with eyes. Something with a talking mouth. Here it is, saints. Seduction or fornication never occurs in a vacuum. It is not triggered haphazardly out of nowhere. There has to be an agent, an intelligent agent. There has to be a vessel. When I say agent, I mean a vessel, something which is usable. What was usable in this time? A good, handsome creature. There was a time my wife had a very strange experience. She had this experience. It was a dream. She woke up wondering how strange it was. And she says it was in a beautiful garden. And there was this creature. It was looking very beautiful. Very beautiful, well built. Like a human being, but not a human being. I wish she can explain it in her words. Then the experience changed. Suddenly this thing was crying in pain, and it was getting transformed. Mommy, do you mind just giving us some details of the experience? You can just tell us the narration. I know she doesn't like being caught unaware, but I didn't plan also to come to this point. Now, just kindly speak it through the microphone, because I always have people online who say, we didn't hear that. Can you translate it for us? Can you, whenever I've done things like this.
Not to feel like you are part of every speaker, but like you understand.
On my left side, there was something like a curtain. Like I was not supposed to know what was the other side. But I had a sense like God was on this side. So ninambira chabechi into a thing, pa, pansy like that. When I saw that, I saw a creature, but it looked like a human being. You know these people who do malift like Mr. Zambia or something like that, but not really in that sense. Very, very huge. It was being transformed. And then when it was being transformed, it was crying because it was in pain. And it was crying, a loud cry. And it was fighting this so that chinyamuke. But the process was taking very fast. Then across, I don't know why, there was a snake, more like a cobra. It stood like this, like it was waiting for what was about to happen. Yes.
Thank you.
That's quite something, don't you think? That's quite something, right? Immediately she told me that. I said, well, you saw the serpent. You know, God is so wonderful and loving. As we walk closely with him, he will tell us and give us inspirations and revelations to see certain things. Amen. Yes. Remember one time Brother Branham was preaching. And in that preaching he says, it's not like Adam was being chased out of the garden. Like he was moving out willfully. Because he knew the sin he had committed. Now when you look at it in the message like that, you think Brother Branham just made that statement. But it was a strange experience to him. Later on, he testifies that actually as he was preaching, he saw the vision of the man and the woman moving out of the Garden of Eden with the skins of the animals even flapping as they were walking. What a privilege, what a blessing to be able to go and see that spiritual dimension to see what happened. Amen. And when I was taught that experience, for the first time I realized it must have been a painful experience for the serpent. It was part of the judgment. Amen. It was part of the judgment. The thing is, and you know the prophet says the serpent was a tall big fellow. You know what came out? Ken. Follow the genealogy. You later on have giants. Is that right? If the serpent was designed to help Adam with the garden work and all that, it had to have something built in its physique to do that work. So I believe the experience was a very biblical experience and truth with it. Praise the Lord. Now see, the devil picked on something to use. Something which could communicate. For seduction to happen, it doesn't just happen. Say, oh, nina gwa muchimo. No. The devil will pick on the right vessel to use. In this case, he used the serpent. In your case, as a human being, he will use a woman. He can use a man. And look at what the world has become today. You read the message, Marriage and Divorce, by the prophet. Hey, you need to have the Holy Spirit for you to understand the depth of the truth he brings out there. The prophet says, look at all natural creatures. It is the male which looks more beautiful. Look at the chickens. Which one looks beautiful, the hen or the cockerel? Huh? Yeah. It's beautiful with nice feathers, colors, and it looks good, right? Is that right? It's the male which looks good and nice. Look at the lions. Which one looks good and beautiful? The poor female is just plain. The male has all the nice hairs, you know, when it's moving like that. So majestic and beautiful. I've seen some of you on your WhatsApp profile pictures, you put a lion. I've never seen one who puts a female lion. You always want to put a male lion with its, what do you call that? All those hairs. You know? It's a beauty, is it not? Yeah. Oh, animal kingdom is like that. Only the human species is an exception. Mundu ndio siana. It's the opposite among human beings. You look at males. If they told you you are handsome, they lied to you. They're just trying to impress you. It's women who are beautiful. Quite the opposite of what happens in nature, is it not? Now, you know what the devil has done? He has taken that and manipulated it. He has added an artificial beauty, which is deceptive. Women try to do this and that to do what? To cause seduction. The natural beauty comes from God. I'm saying this because some people have misunderstood the prophet on that. You know, the prophet makes a statement. He says, but look at a woman's beauty designed by Satan. Now, you need to understand that in its right context. When you look at a woman in her natural state, she is a creation of God. But what has the devil done? He has given it a twist. It's not a natural beauty. It's not a natural attraction. It is the undressing of a woman. I've always taught this to my students. Two women will pass here. The first woman, all clothed up in a long outfit, all covered up. Or she'll walk. No head will turn to say, what passed here? No. Take the same woman. The same woman. Let her wear something above the knees. Well, what do you call it? Is it above or below when the knees are showing? What's the English there? Above, okay. Let her wear a see-through. Let her tighten up the breasts. Let her walk in a twisted way where one leg goes this way, another leg goes this way. The same woman. Let her walk here. Oh, heads will look. What has caused that? Is it that the second one is more beautiful or prettier than the first? Are you getting the illustration? Are you getting the illustration? No. The second picture is the same person but uncovered. Now, see how a woman who does that makes herself cheap. And then this poor woman, in the framework of her mind, thinks, I am prettier, I am more beautiful than the other woman. When I walk, people look at me. Listen to me, you are lying to yourself. The other one is covered up. You have uncovered your valuable body. You've opened it to the public. And valuable things are covered. Is that true? So it's not more beauty. And see what the world of marketing has done. Makweo is business, huh? They've capitalized on the nakedness of a woman. They're making money out of that. So they'll be saying, we are the best automotive company. We supply good, great tires for vehicles. You know, they'll advertise powerful automotive equipment. Great tires for your vehicle. And then they'll show a woman naked, exposing her thigh, holding the tire. What's the connection between a thigh and a tire? That is the sexualization of a woman's body. And you have to be a fool to believe beauty is a thigh. What have they done? I'm told there used to be a car wash. I was just told this. This car wash, all girls wear very short shorts with tightened breasts. And you know what happens? There are always vehicles to be cleaned there. What really is happening? Is it really that there is no other car wash? You really think that's a uniform because it was an appropriate uniform for them to wear that? They are more free to move. You really think that's the purpose? No, it's because in the biological framework of a man is attracted by sight. And they've added commercialization to that to know what will cause men to go there. It's the devil. It is seduction. But what is he using? There's an object he has to use for that. Something that will cause attraction. It takes a born-again man to walk in his integrity in the midst of a perverse generation like the one we're living in. Only the Holy Ghost gives you that nature to be faithful to your woman. Praise God. There has to be an urgency. Number two, conversation. The agent, the vessel, strikes conversation. Nkani. Kuti uchimo uchitike, uyambira na agency, a vessel. This can be a woman. This can be a man wanting to entice a woman. It may start with a text, someone texting. Seduction doesn't happen in the air. It uses an available vessel to do what? To cause an attraction. So this agency, this vessel, starts a conversation. Sin has to start with a conversation. Sin has to start with communication. First, The agent gets your attention. Now, when I say conversation, it's not just words. It's looks. It's actions. You understand that? Look, if I'm at my workplace, then it's lunchtime. There's a female workmate. Maybe I buy scones, I buy meat pies, I buy. Then I give her something. After 2-3 days again, I buy her something. Have I spoken any word? Have I spoken any word? The devil will come to you. Oh, you're okay. You haven't spoken any word. I mean, giving is good. That's not true. In your heart of hearts, you know when a conversation has started. Is that right? For seduction to happen, there has to be an agent. The agent will start a conversation. A conversation may have words. It may be an action. It may be a deed. Don't be fooled. That's a conversation. Now, see what happened here. The Bible says, and he said unto the woman, that's conversation. So there is a serpent, there is an agent, but now there is a conversation. Are you able to see that? Now, you think that happened in one day? The serpent says, you won't die. No. That was a strong statement. He can't just arrive at something which blatantly overturns the words of God in one day. He can't do that. It was a process. It was a conversation. Somehow the serpent begins to, when he notices Eve is on her own, that's the area he goes to clean and a conversation starts. They begin to chat. Now, when you chat with someone every day, conversations are going to go beyond formal conversation. It will go into a personal realm. Correct? I've worked in an office where it's a shared office. I once had an office arrangement where there's a woman and there's a man. We were three of us, two men, one lady. And when we come, we greet each other. Yeah, good morning. Oh, okay, did you work on the teaching files? And whatever communication, well, it was formal, attached to work. Once in a while, of course, one will come and say, oh, my child is sick and all right. No more conversation. But there is a difference when now you say, oh, let us go for lunch. I'm found with that woman. Let's go do this. I'll go with you. Oh, I want to touch a place. Escort me. Listen to me. Whether you had intentions or you didn't have intentions, as long as there is proximity, your conversation at a certain point, it will cross the barrier, it will go into a personal realm. It will move from, let us go have lunch, it will move to, you know what, I know what your favorite meal is, I'll buy it for you today. It's becoming personal. Correct? Yes. When that happens, you've actually entered the orchard of sin. Sin hasn't yet happened, but you've entered the orchard. You know the orchard? Orchard ni munda wa mitengo muli zipaso. Now, look at this person. He says, I'm orange. I'm orange. Nia zonda maorange aso ni kaya jani manvera ngati kuruka nia zonda mukaenda kumtandalira every day mumpeza averenga newspaper mumunda wa maorange. The other day you find him cleaning oranges in maorange sini akonda ha maorange really. If you don't want the fruit of evil, get out of the devil's orchard. There are many sins you overcome, not on screaming and praying out aloud. You overcome by simply distancing yourself. Right? Why? You don't want to strike conversation. Look at Mother Eve. Look at Mother Eve. The serpent said, what about this tree? Ah, that one. Hey, this one. No one asked me about it. Ah, we're told not to. Oh, but one is a good one. Now, if Eve is wise, she should have seen the conversation has entered a personal realm. We are not even supposed to talk about this. You know, there are certain things that shouldn't even come out of your lips with another person or with a woman. That is why I don't believe you are a man, even if you are running a company or you are a business. You can't have a business partner with a woman. You are doing, what do you call this, tender documents, you are with a woman. She's my secretary. Oh, we have to make a presentation. Oh, she's my secretary. We're going together. We're going to make a presentation. Every day you are together. Oh, we're going to lunch. No, she's my business partner. Listen to me. The Lord Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I'm not saying go look for a knife and you do those horrible things on your body. But no matter how you can justify that this is a business partnership, that thing is going to lead you to a wrong thing. Look for another business partner who is a man. Now, look at this stupid world. Now, even man and man admires each other. Where are we going? You see, there are certain things that are natural laws and you don't mess up with them. You bring a North Pole magnet with a South Pole magnet. What will happen? They will attract. Is that right? Is there any spiritual force in between here? Huh? Will you say, why are these magnets attracting? Let me bind and cast out magnetism. You are a fool. That's the law of magnetism at play. Male and female, there will be an attraction. It's got nothing to do with demonology. Demons will only utilize the natural law. That is true, isn't it? If every day you are with this opposite magnet, you attract. Yes. Going back to the same thing, that is why when a girl and a man, we engage them here, Brother Tenso, we don't want man's and man's engagement. Tifuna wedding. Because you've been engaged, it shouldn't take too long. Why? You are human beings. Later on, there's an attraction which begins, and it will lead into a wrong thing. Is that true? That is why some marriages have ended up in these Pentecostal churches. They are blessing a marriage. A woman is pregnant. What happened? They thought they were already married. That is true, saints. There is much wrong which can be avoided by simply being principled. In the future weddings, when you engage, we may have to give guidance. Don't go beyond this and that period of time. When we do such a thing, we are protecting you, yourselves, from certain compromised situations you find yourselves in. What was Eve supposed to do? Immediately the serpent begins to talk that she was supposed to rebuke him. What are you talking about? She's actually supposed to call the husband. Can you listen to what he's talking about? If possible, give him a slap. That is true. You can see when someone is entertaining something and if truly they don't like it, you can see it. Is that correct? My brethren, the devil is very crafty. Those of you who go to workplaces, have you seen this behavior? The man sees a lady, this one is my wife. Hey, both of them are married. Have you ever seen that? My sweetheart. Now a believer. Yes, my sweetheart, at believer. At non chimbuya. Leron chimbuya. Myron chigorol. That's how it moves. For me, I don't believe in that. This chimbuya thing, my wife, my husband, at my workplace. Look here, saints. The third stage of seduction, three, is desecration of the authority of God's word. Desecration of the authority of God's word. You know what I mean by that? You make light of things which are supposed to be revered. You know, someone who is not married to you says, my sweetheart, nimbuya wanga wewe, my sweetheart. There's no chimbuya in that. To me, you don't joke around things like that. Hey, I have seen it. A man even hugging a woman. This is my wife. Simply because one is a Bemba, one is from Chipata, or one is a Lozi, one is a Tongaza, which is a Shitatabe Chimbuya. Mao Yamulungu Mulive Chimbuya when it comes to such things. I'm not saying you can't joke. A believer can have humor, but there are things we express our humor about. Not things bordering on marriage, things bordering on relationships. Those are not go areas. Those are not places for jokes. You are single, a young girl says, you can be my husband, and you are joking back. You don't know what agenda she has. When such a thing happens, speak right away on it, spell it out clearly. So no. Then someone comes and says, my wife, my husband says, hey, since when? Not you give a smile back. Say, no, me, I didn't say anything. I was just smiling and laughing. And the devil will give you enough reasons to show that there's nothing wrong you did. But seduction starts with an agent, something, someone the devil uses. Next, a conversation starts. Three, God's word gets desecrated. How does God's word get desecrated? Alternative explanations will start being given. Jokes. That is how God's word gets desecrated. Jokes. Making you smile at something which you are supposed to be serious about. Ch- chintu nipanchito wachitenga. Ah, at alda, how do you say it, Bemba? The one who works in the field. Alia mwibala. We womba mwibala. Alia mwibala. So there's a little something from your workplace. It's finding itself at your home. So, you know, these are things, after all, you know, we're not even given enough salaries. I mean, and everyone does it. You know what you've done? You are desecrating something. You are making something light, which you are supposed to take seriously. And you know how it happens? It starts with a little thing before it becomes a big thing. Next time you get a big equipment and you think it's normal, you take away the word stealing, you use the word I just took. Like I'm told, Bembas, they don't steal. Is that true, my mbuyas? I'm told you don't steal things, mutolafie. Awe, nuka wala la huwa. Amen. You know what? As believers, let us shine the light of our integrity in everything we do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just do the right thing. I was giving a testimony the other day of getting my license for driving a truck. And I tell you, it's very tempting to cut shortcuts. It's very tempting. So there was a very good offer. I says, you know, you don't need to go through the cons. I mean, who can go through that? But in my heart, I thought, no. Let me do the right thing. Say, okay, I'll practice going through the cons. I'll practice through the week. I tried to do that. I did that. I was very nervous. I said, will I pass? And everyone says, no, you just, you know, pay 1,000 kwacha and won't take you through that. You know, you just go on the road. And another voice will say, Palibe ama pasa ivi kulibe. You know what the devil is trying to do? He's trying to make legitimate a thing which is wrong. And look here, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to show myself better than anyone here. There was a time I used to entertain such things. But I believe a Christian, we need to grow. There was a time I used to say, no, I mean, you can wash up someone. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Everyone does it. But, you know, I'm working towards perfection. I'm working towards the rapture. And I've come to believe, as a believer, you need to be a number one law-abiding citizen. I say to myself, no, if I do this, I'll put a dent on my testimony. Because you see, an unbeliever will do that. You as a believer, you don't know what the devil is throwing there. And if a person helps me, say, even Abusa, Tinawatandiza, you know what will happen? You will believe, even Abusa, because I become your standard now. Are you understanding that? You say, if even Abusa, so in your heart, you get comforted of your sin because a person you regard as your spiritual father has done it. That's the trick the devil has thrown. So I had two options. Do I take 1,000 kwacha and pay this person who is well connected and I won't go through the cons, I won't be tested and... I said, let me take this 1,000. Let me take it to a driving school. When pity them on my cons. So I called this driving school. I said, look, I know how to drive. I just want 5 days of drills through the cons only. It wasn't a nice experience. Every day I had to go. On the day of the exam, You know, the devil comes and says, let's see your integrity now. This is what you wanted. But I encouraged myself. I said, no. If they put up this test, it means it's doable. Someone is able to do it. And I'll have a better testimony that way. So, well, I went through the cons. And later on, when I didn't hit any con, and I was told I had passed, I felt good. The next thing, I was supposed to go on the road. We went through the road and did everything. On the same day, the license came out. You know, I went out of Ratsa feeling, yes, it's a pure good license. I think it's good for all of us to have a testimony like that. Amen? Yes. Allow me to share just another testimony. I don't know. These testimonies are important to encourage each other. Recently, I was about to get a very well-paying job. Very good paying job. I won't mention the name because, you know, I don't want to put some people in problems. But now this is what happened. There were colleagues in that organization. They told me there's an advert, please apply. Now I teach computer programming. And it's a tough course, you know. Among courses in computer science, it's one of those challenging programs, especially for you to be able to teach students to understand. Now, what happens in a training institution is if a new lecturer joins, and they are not competent at teaching that subject, you'll be forced to give them simpler subjects, courses. And then you find yourself with all the challenging courses, you are the ones handling them. Those courses which are difficult, you find you keep handling them because others can't handle them. So usually when the new lecturer coming, we want someone who is able to teach also the difficult courses because it will lighten our burden. So when you know that someone is about to be employed, you take interest. You want them to employ a right guy who can take on also challenging courses so that you are able to share. So, you know, these colleagues tipped me, says, hey, this is a good job. And we've set exams with you before, because I've worked with these colleagues when setting national exams and all that. So they said, we need you. Can you please apply? Because we are overwhelmed with work, we are very few, and please, can you apply? So I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. I applied. On the day of interviews, not on the actual day, just a few days before, the big people, you know, at this university, they had their own people. So even people who are not shortlisted, they appeared being among shortlisted people. And wow, you know, audience and Zenawake, Uyu at Nwawandan, Uyu Nwawandan. So these colleagues called me. They were very upset. They said, you know, we don't like what's going on here. I think if we don't intervene, they'll give people who are not qualified. So we've decided, because you will be very disadvantaged, because these others have already been blessed. So we also want to do our part. We want to give you answers. We want to give you the leakage to the interview questions. And we tell you everything that is coming. I was driving when I was being told that. And brethren, I needed that salary. I needed that salary. I had been praying and fasting for it. Lord, I need a financial breakthrough. And then someone says, we'll give you everything about the interview. You know, that looks like an answer from God, isn't it? Yes. Many of us will say, God has answered. God gives favor to his chosen. And you know, in that moment, the devil also becomes a Bible study believer. He will even bring scriptures to you like Jacob and Esau. Jacob, you know, he covered himself. He lied to get the blessing. If you thought the devil doesn't know the Bible, he brings very controversial scriptures in moments like that. I was driving. Now, when someone tells you a thing like that, you appreciate them for the confidence they have in you. It's not like this person is close or anything like that. It's someone, there's a very big professional distance. We only meet during setting exams, okay? But there were two of them. And I believe they did that out of their honest, sincere desire to help. And I didn't want to give them a holier-than-thou attitude like, no. And, you know, to make them feel bad, no. I knew they were doing that out of respect and they were frustrated and all that. And I pulled over the vehicle. I moved out of, because so many things were rushing through my head in a shot. But this is what I say. I said, you know what? Thank you so much for the confidence you have in my skills. But this is how I told them. I says, please, look here. I don't want you to bother yourselves. Don't put yourselves in harm's way. Don't bother yourselves. If there is a candidate who is better than me, let them get the job. But I won't disappoint you. Don't tell me anything about what's coming. I'll promise you one thing. When I come, I'll prove my sort. I'll show you what material I am made of. If it's not good enough for your university, then I don't deserve the job. Oh. The person was quiet for a moment. Says, oh. Says, anyway, that's even better. Said, yes. Now, see what happened. What I want to show you out of this testimony is this. When you are praying for something, the devil may present a counterfeit thing before the real thing comes. Did you hear that? Don't be a fool and catch the bait. You find yourself in problems. It was day of interviews. When I arrived for interviews, we're about seven, eight. Now, you know, all interviews can put a nervousness in you. No matter how many videos you've watched of how to prepare for an interview and... Oh, I looked at the people who were on the set. Nicely dressed, huge people, and they look good, you know? The mind already begins to put drama on you. Say, Nivikali, if you want to go on a kera, was a pass it out to Vonsa, if I'm going to go on a kera. wanjenja kudara. I'm a human being. I got affected. I said, ah, will I win this interview? These guys, just the way they look, they just look great, you know? And then they said, we shall interview you according to the earliest first. And you know, I came late for that interview, so I was number last. I said, that's even better. So the first one went in. He came out complaining. He says, how can they be interviewing us like, you know, we are young children? How do they bring things like that? Now I said, if a person I'm already afraid of is complaining, what hope does it leave to me? The second one went in. Everyone was looking wounded as they are coming out. And you know what? That was only part one of the interview. We were told part two is practical. They give you a computer and they tell you to write a simple piece of a program. You need to code. If you don't know coding, coding means producing software, okay? A program which is working. And I was told it's for 10 minutes. You need to code for 10 minutes. And I was wondering. Number one, I didn't know what language they were using. We were not taught that. I said, wow. I was panicking and I was getting nervous. I said, wow. In my heart, I'd already prepared, saying, anyway, it's important to attend the interviews. It doesn't mean... My mind started playing on me to say, you know, you don't really have to get the job. Even attending interviews, it means you are closer to getting the job. I mean, the mind started getting defeated. I said, wow, coding in 10 minutes? Well, the first person went in. People were getting more frustrated than the oral interviews. Moving this, the second one moves in, and I was told 10 minutes, but people were spending 30 minutes in there. I said, what really is going on there? And then, well, I went in there. I was the last person. I walked in and with my laptop. And then they said, can you do your setup? And I was trying to walk through all the motivational videos I'd gone through to say, you need to be calm. So in my mind, they were playing, I need to be calm. So I was taking all my time to... Then I asked, I said, is the setup part of the 10 minutes? They said, yes. I moved from slow to fast forward. I was now in panic mode, you know, connecting everything. Turned it on, connected to the projector, and they said, now, you know, this was the very funny part. They said, can you code the program which does this, and that? So I quickly, because I believe that was the beginning of the interview, okay? So I thought questions had not yet started. So I quickly did it. Pa, 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 pa. I said, yeah, I'm ready. We can start. Then all of them laughed. I was getting more nervous. I said, yes, we can start. I said, Mr. Piri, the interview is over. I said, but you haven't asked me. Then there was a big laughter. He said, no, that was it. Then thirdly, I said, really? Then there was a third breakout of laughter. I said, okay, Mr. Piri, thank you for everything. And now, when I packed everything and I walked out, my friend later on called me. He said, you know, you really put on drama. He says, we knew you had no understanding of the laughter, but do you know why there was laughter? I said, no, I mean, you people were really intimidating me, and I don't understand what was going on. I was very nervous. Said, no, you see, all your friends took 20, 30 minutes. That was one. Number two, when we asked them to program, others were opening Microsoft Word and they were not opening the language they're supposed to use. Now, those of you who understand the technicalities, you know how funny that is. And then none of them came close to answering or writing the correct program. But then you were able to do everything in 3 minutes, and as though that wasn't funny enough, you were asking them, really, is that all? And then, you know, everyone was laughing to see how quick it was done and how it was correct, and how I seemed not to think the interview had not yet started. Well, then later on, well, I was told I had gotten the job and everything was being set in place, and I was told I was told, you know, I'd gotten the job, I can start teaching some classes. I'd even started preparing classes, you know. And that's the time the government gave a directive to the university and all other institutions. I was told even later on, even at your company, Brother Lungu, you were told not to employ any more people. They gave a directive not to employ any more people. And so they had to tell me, sorry, you can't get it. So your amen was a little bit early. But the thing is this, I learned something out of that. Suppose I had accepted to see the interview questions, and yet it was something I was already able to do. If I had started working at that company, would I have been lifting my heads up high with integrity? Huh? No. Even if I would have known the questions, someone would have thought I was there at their mercy because they showed me something, right? Careful when you are praying for something. The devil always brings a counterfeit. When you go for that bet, you find yourself in problems. You find yourself in prison cells. You find yourself answering what you're not supposed to answer. Don't make light or desecrate God's word on anything, no matter how simple it looks. Let's always walk in the integrity of God's word. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They told them, eat of the delicacies. They said, no. Yes, we are in a foreign land. Yes, we are slaves. But test us. Give us some days. Give us vegetables. The Bible says, at the end of those days, they were looking much more healthier. Let us not get into the way of believing everyone does it, so I have to do it. Then what makes you special as a child of God? Hallelujah. We should be marked out. If we are disadvantaged, God will give us the advantage. Amen. If the children of darkness plot against you, the Bible says promotion does not come from the east or the west, it comes from above. God will lift you up. If other people scheme to disadvantage you, God is the bigger boss. If it is getting contracts or anything like that, God will make a way. That is what should make you a believer. That is what should mark you as a child of God. If all the people get licenses by Kuosha, let us make ourselves distinct to say, God will help me. And you know the one who taught me that about getting the license? It was my wife. When my wife was getting a driver's license, I said, hey, are you going to make it? And there were so many offers, you know, you do this. But she just said, no, if it's failing, I'll go through it and fail. Someone very close offered her a very good shortcut. She says, no. She went through the cons on the road. First attempt, bah! License was out. I was encouraged on that background. She laid a good example for me, and I said, no, I think this is the right way. Amen. So I also did the same. And I'm also testifying to you. So Nindana Zakaosha Pan. I mean, you've heard it's possible to get it the right way. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, I would want to finish through this. Just give me some 10 minutes more. So what I'm saying is, sin starts with urgency. Something the devil can use. That thing will start a conversation with you. The conversation sows a seed of sin in your mind. Now, there is really something I need to mention on this, on church history level, but we'll leave that for the other part because time is gone. But let's mention this. That conversation, it will throw something in you that makes you believe a lie. It makes you to desecrate God's word. And when God's word is desecrated, how does God's word get desecrated? By statements we take lightly, but they don't honor or glorify God. I was reading about the visions of Mary, which happened in the Catholic Church. This happened, I think, in 1916. You've heard of Fatima, vision experiences of Fatima. How many have heard about them? Where Catholics believe Mary appeared in a place in Portugal called Fatima. It's three children. Three children who were shepherds in Portugal. They started seeing visions of Mother Mary. And Mary told them, the woman wore a white mantle edged with gold and held a rosary in her hand. She asked them to devote themselves to the Holy Trinity and to pray the rosary every day to bring peace to the world and an end to the war, because that time there was war. This became breaking news around the world. Mary has appeared to three children. Mary has appeared to three children in a place called Fatima. The conversation became strong. The next thing, they even built a parish, a Roman Catholic church in that place in Fatima. The parish church of Fatima, where the three children who saw the apparition were baptized. The next thing, in the following months, thousands of people flocked to Fatima and nearby Ajus Trail, drawn by reports of visions and miracles. Later on, the year 2017 marked the 100th anniversary of the apparitions, and it was celebrated with the visit of Pope Francis to the sanctuary of Fatima. In 1930, the Catholic Church officially recognized the apparition events as worthy of belief and granted a papal indulgence to pilgrims visiting Fatima. Now, I'll speak more on these things in the next part of the message, but I want you to understand this. Wrong doctrine, wrong behavior, which comes because of you've been seduced, it is made to thrive through conversation. These conversations, it's not just someone wanting to entice you because you want to fornicate physically. It can be spiritual. Where certain things which don't honor God start being given reverence status. These conversations can be in form of testimonies of the supernatural. And I'll speak more on this in the next part of the message. But ultimately, it leads to the word of God being desecrated. Do you know the devil can make you reach a point where he tells you there's nothing wrong with fornication? The word of God has become desecrated. Where the devil now convinces people to say, no, when you bow down to the image of Mary, you are not worshiping an idol. You are just remembering the image of Mary. Desecration of God's word. Why? There was a conversation. You've believed in that conversation in your mind. And then you start now outrightly desecrating God's word. Where someone now begins to say, is there anything really wrong with painting lips so that they look like red lips? I mean, when sin conceives, it justifies itself. When sin thrives and it has grown to maturity, it can reach a point where it justifies itself. Why it needs to happen like that? That's a dangerous state. We'll end here this morning. What is the encouragement this far? Recognize sin, not when it becomes sin. Recognize sin when the agent of sin stands before you. Looking innocent. Looking like a friend. Looking like an innocent process. Looking like it's what everyone does. No one can get away with it. You ought to recognize sin from the inception when it takes a form of that agent. It can be a process, it can be a situation, it can be someone close to you whom you trust. Have eyes which are discerning. Wherever you are, in your family, at your workplace, in the home, recognize to say, this is not me. This is not the word of God. Right away, go on your knees. Pray for God to give you strength. Stand up. Rebuke Satan and cast him out of your way. And suddenly, you receive the strength of the Lord. Because he is always present to give us strength in times of trial. Amen. Shall we stand? And always remember this. Whenever the devil throws a seductive process, there is a big victory that is awaiting you. And he wants to short circuit it. He wants to abort it. If you fall for that trap, you don't know what you are aborting in the process. So recognize the enemy when he comes before you. Remember St. Martin? Jesus appeared and told him, worship me. And he had a crown. St. Martin looked at the figure standing before him. If it was you, you would be standing on Sunday how Jesus has appeared to you. St. Martin looked at the vision. He says, no, this is not Jesus. Because Jesus does not yet have a crown on his head. He will be crowned by the saints. St. Martin said, devil, get away from here. And that is how the devil vanished and ran away. If it was you and I, without spiritual discernment, we'll be standing here on the morning service, even shivering. But it took a man who had discerning eyes, who knew the scriptures, to say, this is the devil, this is not Jesus Christ. And in another time again, he saw Jesus, and it was the real Jesus. May God give you the ability to discern your situations in your workplace, as a worker at your workplace, as a husband in a home, as a child at home. May you discern when the devil wants to use you. May you discern when the devil wants to steal your joy away. Shall we bow our heads? We pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies, which are new every morning. Lord, throughout the week we were busy, we were going for work. And sometimes we take long because it's the only day we have coming together to talk about these things. And now, as we dismiss, may we all go back to our places, recognizing the devil for who he is. Lord, may you put such a light in our hearts that we shall not compromise truth in any circumstance or situation. Because if we can easily bribe a person, how would we have survived the torture and the persecutions in the dark ages? May we not entertain a fallen attitude, a wrong attitude. May we learn good things of each other in the name of Jesus. That wherever we are, integrity may manifest. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us the strength to march towards perfection in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Chavula, come and dismiss us. Amen. Thank you, Lord.